You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Last week, a petition was delivered to Parliament surrounding councils' handling on tiny homes. While legislation makes clear distinctions between caravan-like structures such as tiny homes and everyday homes, councils have handed out notices to fix. However, the things needed to fix on these occasions aren't possible due to the nature of a tiny home. Laura Quickstead spoke with Colin Whiteman, who has been the HICO organiser in Wellington surrounding tiny homes. He says the handling a notice is to fix is like handing an eviction notice to a tiny home owner. He starts off by telling us what the recent petition is about.
We brought, obviously, to Wellington the mobile protest, okay, involving tiny houses. The way that government has been sending mixed messages to councils in regard to how they're to treat tiny houses. So as part of that, we also ran a petition through the government website system, which was presented to Andrew Bailey yesterday as part of the presentation that we made at the steps of Parliament. Where we also had in attendance Jenny Salisa, the current Building and Construction Minister, as well as Judith Collins, Gareth Hughes from the Greens Party. So, yeah, it was a good turnout. So Andrew Bailey received the petition and he will present that to Parliament next Tuesday.
So you've had a seemingly good response from government so far, is that correct?
Yes. Well, yes and no. I mean, what we've realised that the problem stemming from MBIE, who are their advisory on building matters, the message they're getting from MBIE is that tiny houses should be regarded as more or less fixed to land buildings. So in turn, government has been directing councils, if you like, that look, you're to claw these mobile living units in under the Building Act and in under the Resource Management Act, which is contrary to law. We've had a 180-year history in New Zealand where mobile living units have always been regarded as vehicles and have had not to go through what you call a standard fixed-to-land building consent process. Okay, so the message we took to Parliament yesterday was that we need to maintain that legal status, historically speaking, because otherwise the affordable nature of tiny houses as an alternative will not be any longer.
Can you tell me a bit more about the ways in which this current legislation might leave a tiny home owner vulnerable?
Okay. Believe it or not, the current legislation is perfectly good. Okay, that's the crazy thing about it. I guess we're moving into a world now in New Zealand that it's more red tape on top of red tape, and government fairly, I guess you could say, do want controls and minimum standards towards safe, warm and sanitary. But in turn, current production of tiny houses in New Zealand actually meets its own code, which is the same as a caravan. The only thing is with a tiny house, it's what I would describe as an upgraded caravan. So we talk about things like gas certificate, electrical certificate in terms of safety, issues of or proof of insulation is self-evident. I mean, I don't know of any tiny house that hasn't got a far superior insulation value to a other mobile living units like caravans and RVs and those types of units on wheels. So we already have complied with what we call a caravan code. So the notion that we should go through a building consent process is almost unrealistic in a real sense, because it's mobile living units are not designed to be fixed to land. In fact, they have to be more structurally sound than a fixed to land building, because they actually have to move, in some cases delivered 1,000 kilometres away. So so there's a wee bit of misinformation coming out of, I guess, MBIE's office. Jenny Salisa is obviously taking that advice, and in turn, councils are getting mixed messages as to how they're to treat tiny houses.
On a more personal level, I guess, what are some examples of how people individually have been affected with this I guess not legislation, but this interpretation of legislation.
Yes, okay. So yesterday at that Parliament steps, we actually had in attendance four victims of tiny house abuse, as I describe it, or red tape abuse, where what happens is council officer comes along, knocks on the door of the tiny house owner and says, look, you're living in a building. You're going to require, you have to go through a building consent process, this, that and everything else. When the actual truth of it is they're actually suggesting that they will be evicted because it is in real terms impossible to code comply a mobile living unit because they aren't designed to be fixed to land. They don't have the characteristics of a fixed to land building other than maybe the upper structural visual. So, to answer your question specifically, the four victims we had there was Alan Dell, Mamble Beach, for example. He won his landmark case against Taranui District Council and MBIE 2 weeks ago, where, in effect, they did issue him with a notice to fix, which effectively would have made him homeless. So Alan won his case. He was here yesterday. A wonderful outcome for him. We also had Caroline Smith, who was on a Fair Go program on Monday night, and she's currently halfway through the process where Manawatu Council have issued her with a notice to fix, which again is an eviction notice in effect. We have a request with Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment at the moment to seek a determination from them, and if they are to follow through on the court decision of 2 weeks ago, they will once again, or should once again, find in favour of Caroline Smith that, in fact, it's not a building, that it's a vehicle in law and it's an exemption under Section 8 of the Building Act. So that's two of the people we had there yesterday. We had two others as well who are being harassed by their respective councils who are living in the notion, I guess, at the moment that they're buildings when, in fact, they're not.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.